2 Kings chapter 24, and we want to read at verse 17. The king of Babylon made Mattaniah, his father's brother, king in his stead, and changed his name to Zedekiah. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for another opportunity to look into your word. These opportunities are becoming fewer and fewer as we approach the soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, or as we approach the grave. We do not boast ourselves of tomorrow, or we should not, because we know not what a day may bring forth. And so we pray that we would hold these meetings like this very precious in our minds and hearts and not take them for granted. We ask you to speak to us today from your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning in our studies of Jeremiah the prophet, we want to look at the final king that he dealt with before Judah was taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar into Babylon. And that king is Zedekiah. It was our intention to talk, or at least to begin talking about this man a couple of weeks ago. But instead we ended up talking about the king that preceded him, and that was his nephew Jehoiachin. So today we want to begin thinking about Zedekiah. That's not the name that his father Josiah gave him. The name Josiah gave him was Mattaniah. It's Nebuchadnezzar who changes his name to Zedekiah when he puts him on the throne of Judah. And Nebuchadnezzar, it may seem odd in a way, but Nebuchadnezzar had the power to do that. He had come up against Judah in 606 B.C. and he had made Jehoiakim at that time his tributary. And when Jehoiakim rebelled, the Lord sent bands of the Chaldeans and the Syrians and the Moabites and the children of Ammon and the families of the north, along with Nebuchadnezzar, against Judah. And Nebuchadnezzar, as we've talked about, bound Jehoiakim in fetters to take him to Babylon, but Jehoiakim never got there. The indication is that he died on the way, and his dead body was cast out in the heat, in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And it's then that Jehoiachin becomes king. Nebuchadnezzar comes again in 598 B.C., and he besieges the city, and Jerusalem surrenders to him, and Nebuchadnezzar takes Jehoiachin the king and his family and his princes and his servants to Babylon, along with the treasures of the house of the Lord, as we see it here, the treasures of the king's house and the craftsmen and smiths and the mighty of the land, along with those that were strong and apt for war. And he leaves the poorest sort of the people of the land for Zedekiah to rule over. He changes his name from Mattaniah to Zedekiah. This young man is 21 years old when he comes to the throne, and he reigns for 11 years. And we're told here in verse 19 that Zedekiah did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. Now, if you would, mark your place here, and if you have a way to mark it, or put your finger here so we can get back to it. And turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 36, if you will. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. We want to turn there because it's in 2 Chronicles 36 that the Spirit of God summarizes for us the evil that Zedekiah did in the sight of the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. The summary is here. The summary is here. The specifics of the evil, the fruit of the evil, the detail of how the evil manifested itself in Zedekiah's life, we'll see, Lord willing, in the book of Jeremiah. But the root from which all of that will spring is right here. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and verse 11. Zedekiah was 1 and 20 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. Now notice these next words. And humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. Now, that wording there is very critical. We would expect that wording perhaps to be, and humbled not himself before the Lord. But that's not what it says. Zedekiah humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. Will you notice that there is an equality in these words? Jeremiah was God's prophet. He was God's man. And when God's man spoke God's words, not his own words, God's words. When God's man spoke God's words from the mouth of the Lord, then Zedekiah was to humble himself before that man and listen to him as he would the Lord himself. Because Jeremiah was speaking from the mouth of the Lord. Those are amazing words. They shouldn't sound strange to us, though, if you stop and think about it. If you grew up in a house with brothers and sisters, I grew up in a house with brothers, you can enter into these words. I can think of times when my younger brother Mark came to me with a message from Dad. And the message was very simple. Hey, Charles, Daddy said for you to come home. He sent me up here to tell you that it's time for you to come home, and he wants you to come home right away. Brothers and sisters love those two words, right away, and they love to hammer you with them. Now, the words that my brother spoke to me from the mouth of our father were the same. They were to have the same effect. They were to be obeyed by me as though my father was standing there himself speaking them to me. And what I did on a number of occasions, because I was a slow learner, was to look at Mark and say something like this: I don't have to listen to you. I don't have to listen to you. You're not my father. And I'm not going to do what you tell me to do, and I don't have to. I wanted to look, you know, impressive in front of my friends. And so I wouldn't humble myself before my little brother, who was speaking to me, not himself. He was speaking to me from the mouth of our father. And so 30 or so minutes later, when I was good and ready, I would saunter on home. And when I got there, I was in serious trouble. Because it was not Mark's words that I had disobeyed. It was not Mark who I wouldn't humble myself before. It was my father who I wouldn't humble myself before. The very one who God commanded me to obey. And so I experienced the consequences of my rebellion. That's what the Lord is teaching us here. God sent Jeremiah to Zedekiah with his words, with his message in Jeremiah's mouth. And Zedekiah was to humble himself before the word which Jeremiah spoke. He was to be obedient to it as though the Lord himself was standing there in front of him, speaking directly to him. Because to do that would be to humble himself. Not before Jeremiah, but before the Lord. Folks, do we see the application to us today? What it means to do evil in the sight of the Lord in this hour is the same as it is here. To do evil in the sight of the Lord today is to refuse to humble ourselves before a human voice speaking from the mouth of the Lord. Folks, if we really believe that, if we really got hold of that, you know how different our lives would be? Our homes would be different. Calvary Christian School would be different. This church would be different. Young people, when your parents speak to you from the mouth of the Lord, and let's be clear about something here. Let's be clear about what we're talking about when we talk about the mouth of the Lord. This book, the King James Bible, is the mouth of the Lord. And when your parents speak to you, when they plead with you, when they give counsel to you from this book, they are speaking to you from the mouth of the Lord. And you are to humble yourself before them. You're to humble yourself before them the same as you would if the Lord was standing before you in the flesh speaking to you. And if you fail to do that, then you're doing that which is evil in the sight of the Lord. When the teachers here at Calvary Christian School speak to you from this book, they are speaking to you from the mouth of the Lord. And you're to humble yourself before them. You're to humble yourself before them the same as you would if the Lord was standing before you in the flesh speaking to you. And if you fail to do that, then you're rebelling against the voice of the Lord. And you're doing that which is evil in the sight of the Lord. Young people, if you're in grades 7 through 12 here at Calvary Christian School, if you got a hold of that, it'd change your attitude toward chapel. Chapel wouldn't be a nap time. Chapel would not be a note writing time. Chapel wouldn't be a time when you're concerned with the girl that's sitting next to you. It would be a time when you are humbling yourself before the word of the Lord, spoken by a human vessel by the name of Mr. Creech. When we come to the services here at the church like we did Wednesday night, and we hear a message like we heard from Brother Jed Taylor Wednesday night from Luke chapter 19. If you weren't here, and you haven't gone to sermon audio and heard it, you need to hear it. That message challenged us to examine ourselves and see what there is in our hearts and in our lives that the Lord Jesus is weeping over. What is there in our lives? What area is there in this body that is His temple if we know Him as our Savior? What area is there in this temple where we are being thieves? Where we're robbing the Lord Jesus of the place and the glory that He deserves. What is there in our lives that the Lord wants to drive out so that He might teach us His Word in the temple of our hearts? That was the message Wednesday night. And God's will is that we humble ourselves before Jed Taylor and Dwight Creech and Jim Hollis, whoever it is that stands in this pulpit, that is speaking from the mouth of the Lord. There's the qualifier. There's the test. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And if you ever have a situation like that in this church, or if you're visiting some other place and listening, you are not to humble yourself before that message. If it's not according to this word. But if what we hear is from the mouth of the Lord, and what you hear in this church, in service after service, is from the mouth of the Lord, I believe that with all my heart, then we're to humble ourselves before these men. Not because they're perfect, they're not. But we're to humble ourselves because it's the Word of God that's perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. We're to listen and we're to humble ourselves as though the Lord Himself was standing before us in this pulpit speaking to us. And if we fail to do that, then we're rebelling against the voice of the Lord. And we're doing that which is evil in the sight of the Lord. I was thinking Wednesday night when we stood for the final prayer. I was thinking, you know, why do we come to church? Why do we come listen to messages? Is it because they're entertaining? Or is it because we see, wow, that took so much study to do? Boy, the hours that went into that message and the effort that went into that message, that's great. Is that why we come? Or do we come to be convicted? Sometimes we come and we're comforted. Sometimes we're reproved. Sometimes we're rebuked. But if we don't come and the Word of God doesn't have that effect on our hearts, then we're wasting our time. The thought that's suggested by these words here in verse 12 is one that is not isolated here. We find it in the New Testament. Turn over, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And notice verse 20. Notice the language of this verse. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is someone sent by a country to be its official representative. Now then, we are ambassadors. We are those who are sent by the God of heaven to be His official representatives here in this world. And that has implications, and the implications are right here in this verse. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Notice these next words. As though God did beseech you. As though God did beseech you. He beseeches people through His ambassadors. And how does Paul say that God does that? As though God did beseech you by us. By us. Paul says, me speaking to you is the same as God speaking to you. I'm His ambassador. I'm His representative speaking from the mouth of the Lord. That's how He does it. He does it through His people speaking from the mouth of the Lord. But Paul's not through. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you. In whose stead? In Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled to God. God's people are His representatives here in the world. And so when God by us beseeches people, it is as though God Himself is doing that. God's people are in His stead. We're His mouth. We're His hands and His arms and His feet. God's people are in His place here in the world, preaching the message of reconciliation. And the message of reconciliation is the message of the cross. We were reconciled to God by the death of His Son when we were alienated and enemies in our mind by wicked works. We were reconciled to God through His death on the cross of Calvary. And when we hear that message, when we hear it, young people, from our parents, when we hear it from preachers, when we hear it from our teachers, from whatever human instrument God chooses to use, we better humble ourselves before them when they're speaking from the mouth of the Lord and believe God and trust the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. I believe besides 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, you can write 2 Chronicles 36 and verse 12. Turn over a few pages to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And notice what Paul says to these believers in verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. For this cause also, thank we God without ceasing. Because when ye received the word of God, and how did they receive it? When ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, that's how they heard it. They heard it from men. But that's not how they received it. Notice, when you received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. These people in Thessalonica humbled themselves before Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. They received the Word of God from the men that God raised up to give it to them, but they did not receive it as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. How have you received the Word of God? How have you received the Word of God? As the Word of men? Is your attitude, oh, that's just Mr. Creek or Mr. Taylor, or Mr. Hollis, Mr. Garrison. I've heard them. I've heard them and I've heard their words for years. Is that how you receive the Word of God? Oh, that's just Ms. Rembert. That's just Ms. Pond. That's just Kevin or Adam or one of the other Sunday school teachers. That's just Mr. and Mrs. Creech and the Thursday night young people's meeting. We hear it all the time. It's just Vic or Jim or Aaron at the Bible Institute. How have you received the Word of God? Which you heard of us. Have you received it as the Word of men? Or as it is in truth, the Word of God? Have you received it as speaking from the mouth of the Lord? The destiny of your eternal soul depends on your answer to that question. Now let's go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 36 again. Second Chronicles 36, and let's read again at verse 11. Zedekiah was 1 and 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. Zedekiah received the Word of God, which he heard from Jeremiah, as the word of a man. As the word of a man. He didn't receive it as it is in truth, the Word of God, being spoken from the mouth of the Lord. And so he refused to humble himself. And notice what we read in verse 13. And it's worth noting, as we do from time to time, the verse number here. It's verse number 13. It doesn't always work out like that. But when it does, I think it's worth noting, because 13 in the Bible is the number of rebellion. And rebellion is what characterizes Zedekiah's life. Notice what we read there. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar. Now notice the word also. It's amazing how important every word of God is. He says we're to live by every word. And every word has a message. He also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar. That word also draws our attention to the first person that Zedekiah rebelled against. Nebuchadnezzar wasn't the first one that he rebelled against. He would not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. The first person that Zedekiah rebelled against is the Lord. And that is the root of all rebellion. He rebelled against the Lord, and then he rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. And that I wanted to mention that order, and I wanted us to think about that order, young people. Because before you ever rebel against your parents, before you ever rebel against the teachers here at Calvary Christian School, before you ever rebel against earthly authority, your first rebellion is against the authority of heaven. Your first rebellion is against the Lord. That's what we see here. Zedekiah rebelled against the Lord. And his rebellion is manifested then, after he rebels against the Lord, it's manifested toward a man. It's manifested toward a human instrument speaking from the mouth of the Lord. You can take your temperature pretty quickly. Not just young people, but us old people too. You can take your spiritual temperature pretty quickly by looking at your attitude toward the Word of God. What's your attitude toward the message when you hear those speaking from the mouth of the Lord. It doesn't apply to me. I sure hope brother so-and-so's here today. I sure hope sister this one or that one's here. They sure do need to hear that. They sure do need that in their life. It's a good indication that you're in rebellion against that which is spoken from the mouth of the Lord. Zedekiah rebelled against the Lord. Then he rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. And I want you to notice the words there concerning Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God. Who had made him swear by God. That wording is very interesting. And I believe that it may go back to what we read a little earlier in 2 Kings 24. If you still have your place marked there, look back at 2 Kings chapter 24. And let's look at verse 17 again. And the king of Babylon made Mattaniah, his father's brother, king in his stead, and changed his name to Zedekiah. We learn in this verse of two names that this man had. The first one was Mattaniah. That's the name given to him by his father Josiah, by his mother Hamutal. And that name, Mattaniah, means gift of Jehovah. Gift of Jehovah. That's how godly parents see their children, isn't it? Not as a burden, not as a bother, not as a problem to be disposed of, but as a gift of Jehovah, a gift from God. Psalm 127 and verse 3 says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His." Children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. And Mattaniah keeps that name until Nebuchadnezzar comes to put him on the throne of Judah. And when he puts Mattaniah on the throne, he makes him swear by God. But swear what? That's the question. Well, a thought would be that Nebuchadnezzar made him swear allegiance to him. His brother Jehoiakim sure hadn't had much allegiance to him. He wanted him to swear allegiance to Nebuchadnezzar, to make him swear not to rebel against him. I believe this is when Nebuchadnezzar, when he made Mattaniah swear, I believe that this is when he changed his name to Zedekiah. A kind of ceremony, a kind of service, if you will. Zedekiah means righteousness of Jehovah, or Jehovah is righteous. In other words, Zedekiah swore by the righteousness of Jehovah. He swore by the fact that Jehovah is righteous, that he would not rebel against Nebuchadnezzar. So here is Mattaniah. Here's this young man. He's 21 years of age. Not a whole lot older than some of our young people here. And he makes a profession to the king. And he takes this new name that is given to him by a man. A name that lays claim to the righteousness of Jehovah. And he swears that he's going to be a certain way and he's going to live a certain way. Now let's go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and verse 13. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God. When I read these words, the thought that comes to my mind is that right here in these verses is a picture of the false profession. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1, the Lord tells the church at Sardis that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. That's the false profession, isn't it? And I believe that's exactly the picture that we have here. Here's a young man, he's 21 years old, and he makes a profession. He takes this new name that is given to him that lays claim to the righteousness of Jehovah. And he swears that he's going to be a certain way and he's going to live a certain way from that day forward. But he doesn't do it. Why? Because of verse 12. 12 in the Bible is the number of perfect government. And when you refuse the perfect government of God, all that is left for you is rebellion. And Mattaniah is in rebellion against God. He will not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. He will not listen to the prophet who comes along preaching the word of God. And he can make a profession. He can swear that He's going to live a certain way. He can swear that He's going to be a certain way. He can make that profession. He can get a new name, like many do today, the name Christian, a follower of Christ. A lot of people take that name. They raise a hand, they repeat a prayer, and a man tells them, "You've got a new name, you're a Christian." And they, in many churches, they then say, "Well, I'm not going to do this, and I am going to do that. I'm going to live this way, I'm not going to be this way." But unless the heart is humbled, unless the Word of God, which ye heard of us, is received not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God, unless it's received as speaking from the mouth of God, then all you're going to have is a name that you live, but you're dead. And the fruit of a false profession is a life of rebellion. And the tragedy of it, the tragedy of it is that it is lived in a spiritual context. It's lived in the words of Christianity. It's lived in the words of this book. It's lived with people saying things like, I've prayed about it. I'm in the Lord's will. Zedekiah, look at verse 13. "And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God, but he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel." Zedekiah clung to his name. He clung to his false profession. He never humbled himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. And we're going to see that, Lord willing, as we go forward. And the result was, he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Listen, that will ever be the end of a false profession. That will ever be the end of a false profession. A stiffened neck, a hardened heart, a refusal to repent, a refusal to turn to the Lord Jesus from our sin. You'll never get saved while you're clinging to a false profession. All you'll have is a stiff neck and a hard heart. Do you know the Lord today? Do you know Him today? When you received the Word of God, which you heard of us, and some of you young people have heard it from so many people, how did you receive it? As the Word of men? Or as it is in truth, the Word of God? This morning, as ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. He's done everything needed for you to be reconciled to Him. Colossians 1 and verse 20. "And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death." The price of reconciliation has been paid. The precious blood of Christ. And this morning, you can be reconciled to God. You can be reconciled to Him. If you'll humble yourself. If you'll bow that stiff neck and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ from your sin and ask Him to be your Savior. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for this man, Zedekiah. We thank You that You've put him in the book. Thank You that You put him there for us to look at and see ourselves, examine ourselves. Are we living like Zedekiah this morning? A name that he had, a wonderful name. Jehovah is righteous, the righteousness of Jehovah. A name that speaks the truth of the ages, and yet a name that had no place in his heart. Because he would not humble himself before the ambassador from heaven that you sent to him, the man Jeremiah, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. We pray that you might speak to any here who are lost today. And help them in this moment to give up their false profession, to bow their neck, to allow the Spirit of God to break their hardened heart, that they might repent of their sin and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Help those of us who know You to see something this morning of the seriousness of these meetings. When we gather and we hear Your Word, yes, it's from a human instrument. But when that human instrument is speaking from the mouth of the Lord, we're to humble ourselves. We're to hear that message. The messenger is not the measure of the truth. The message is the measure of the truth. And to humble ourselves before Your messenger is to humble ourselves before Your message. Help us to see that. And may it be something that we consider every day and every time we come in to this auditorium. That we might be reproved and rebuked. That we might receive exhortation. That we might go forth from this place to be used of You in these last days. We pray these things in Jesus' name.